Welcome, welcome, welcome to Reaching New Heights with Troy Bell, City Manager, City of Muskegon Heights, where you get to know what you need to know so you'll be in the know. Thank you, everybody, again, for joining us for another segment every Wednesday at 2 p.m. on 103.7 The Beat. So we have an exciting program for you today. As we do every day, I want to welcome to the show a regular almost at this point. This is like the third or fourth time you've been on. Yeah. All right. Chief Sane. So welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Mm-hmm.
And also we have the amazing and formidable Ms. Kaya Thornton Hunter.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. Is this not your first?
No, this is not my first rodeo.
Your first rodeo? Okay. All right, cowboy. Cowgirl. we wanted to take some time out of this show to talk about a number of important things, including the cleanup that's going on, the progress that's being made at 8th Street Park. It looks like Mr. Davis is trying to join in. But we'll have to try to get him connected at some point in time in the show. So we also have 8th Street Park, I mentioned, and the Juneteenth celebration. So a lot of things coming around the corner. We're in May. Spring is here. Summer is right on the horizon. So lots of exciting things.
Yes, sir. Yep.
So the beautiful city of Muskegon Heights, and you probably heard, and if you haven't heard, I'm going to say it again. We are in the midst of our Fight the Blight, Beautify the Heights, or Beautify the Heights, Fight the Blight, whichever way you want to put it. We have the billboards out, and I had promised you starting in February, March, that this was going to be a whole campaign. And hopefully you see it, that you hear it, and you feel it. And so I'm excited now to talk about what's going on at 8th Street Park. The wonderful leadership of Chief Sane and the guns program and the things that they've been able to accomplish. So, Chief, can you talk a little bit about what you've accomplished and what's on the horizon for 8th Street Park?
Yes, some of the things that we've got accomplished already at 8th Street Park, along with the Lake Hawks, the guns organizations, mm-hmm. and Muskegon Heights Police Department.
That's right. I left out Lake Hawks and Flight. Yes.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. We have got some of the playground equipment installed up there with the help of our DPW department. Mm-hmm. And we have six new state-of-the-art basketball rims up there.
I was looking at those yesterday. Those are some nice... Nice rims.
So. Very nice rims.
Mm-hmm. You didn't spare any effort on that.
Nope. Mm-hmm. I went to some of my good friends that love basketball and, mm-hmm. and kind of pitched the idea and gave them the vision of what I wanted 8th Street Park to look like, and, mm-hmm. and they were willing to help out with that. So I was excited about that. Today I had a meeting with some people that's going to do the striping at the court. So. Mm-hmm. Next couple of weeks, be looking out for the striping on the courts. We're going to get that done and completed, and the courts be ready to go. We also have scheduled, with collaboration with Muskegon DPW, of getting the soccer football post put in and the football field squared off and marked off. Try to get that prepared for the Little League football, Youth League, Senior Heights Youth League for this summer. So. Be excited just to be able to bring family atmosphere back up to 8th Street Park. Mm-hmm. We're encouraging kids to come out, young adults to come out and enjoy the park. But we also encourage you to clean up afterwards.
Right. I know that's been a hot topic on social media.
Definitely. Right. If you're out on one of these hot days and you're drinking Gatorade or drinking water or whatever the case may be, we have garbage cans throughout the park around the basketball court. Just take 2 seconds and throw that bottle in the garbage. And that'll help us go a long way in trying to keep the park clean.
You know, and that little effort allows us to be able to bring quality things to the parks in Muskegon Heights. If the community comes together and helps to keep it clean, then we can direct our resources towards better rims, better courts, better playground equipment, better maintenance of the park. All that comes together, as opposed to wasting it on cleaning up trash and litter and bottles in the park. So
definitely. And when you're talking about Tiger Pride and having that pride in your community, that's one of the things we have to get better at, is making sure our community is clean.
Beautiful. Now, I do want to make sure that we recognize the work of the Community Foundation, the contributions that they have made to the playground and the overall H Street Park project, right?
Yeah, they're very instrumental in helping us get grant funding to get some of the things that we're trying to do done up there. So they're always supportive of projects that we have going on in the city of Muskegon Heights.
So in addition to the Community Foundation, I understand that there is another effort that's underway involving Home Depot, is it?
Yes, Home Depot, it has partnered with Guns organization, and they're planning to do a big cleanup in June. I don't have the exact date, but sometime in June, where they're going to come out and help clear some of those bushes back. They're donating a lot of cleanup equipment. They're donating a couple big barbecue pits to go out there. So it's going to be a good event. So be looking for that date to come out, and we're looking for any volunteers to come out and help clean. I know on social media yesterday, there was a lot of people talking, but put your actions where your mouth is. Come out and help us clean up and keep our community clean.
And I think that's what Reaching New Heights is all about. You know, the painting a vision out there and people getting behind that vision. And you see, once we have that vision, like you have set forth with 8th Street Park, there are a lot of folks that are willing to get on board. I would have never thought that Home Depot would have been a partner in this project and in this process. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it was something that was brought by Councilwoman Kitchen to the table. And now we've got not only equipment coming, but the contributions of time and effort, time, treasure, and talent from Home Depot. So that's got to be exciting for you as well.
Definitely. And one of the things that came from the Home Depot, and we talk about Tiger Pride, you have Felicia Anderson, that's an employee out there. So
right.
She heard about the project. So it's just networking.
And right.
When you get in contact with the right people, good things happen. So
that's right. Excellent. Well, that's exciting. I know when I first got here and I heard and found out that we didn't have a Parks and Rec program, that had been long gone, you know, the realization that parks and opportunity for kids to have something to do that's positive is an important part of any valuable community, any community that values their infrastructure and their people. So the steps that we're slowly being able to take under leadership like yours in order to bring back our parks, and then hopefully on the horizon, a Parks and Rec program with a Parks and Rec director.
Yes.
And I pitched that to the Muskegon Heights Business Association back in 2020 before our world got rocked with COVID to help sponsor the salary to be able to bring a Parks and Rec director on board. So we haven't given up on that. That's still on the horizon. So all these things start to come together. The investment in the infrastructure of the park, as well as the staffing and the programming. And before you know it, we'll be back in business.
One of the questions that was asked of me yesterday on social media, and I think you can answer it better than I could. Someone asked about having staff to clean up the parks or maintain the parks.
Mm-hmm.
And I advised them that we didn't have staffing available at this time to
right.
maintain all the parks that we have. And that's why we asked for the community to pitch in. But if you would like to kind of elaborate on that.
Well, it's something that we've talked about on the show before. 2008, I think, is when there was a major staff reduction here in Muskegon Heights. Of course, that was long before I got here. But that reduced the staff almost by half, if I'm not mistaken. And as a result, right now, we're operating on bare minimum. You know, we don't have 25 public works staff members like we used to. We have a reduced police force. We have a reduced fire department. In City Hall, we don't have backup. We don't have a bench of people to step in. And so it's interesting, when COVID hit and other cities were shifting to operating in shifts, you know, that's something that was a luxury that we didn't have, because we only had the one staff member that was responsible and could do. And so that's all part of the story to say that where we are now, because of number of homes that we've torn down. I think 600, some people say between 400 and 600 homes. We don't have the tax base that is in place to be able to support a larger staff, to be able to support better equipment, to be able to support more personnel in City Hall. All of that is not available to us yet. But as we begin this building campaign, which will be kicking off here this summer, to be able to build new houses, we can reclaim that tax base to be able to provide the services on the level and in the volume that the community deserves. But until then, we all have to come together and we all have to be part of the solution. And that's pretty much where we are at this point.
Definitely. And when we do get back to the point where we can have staffing maintain a park, it still don't give you the luxury of just throwing trash on the ground and leaving it there. So we all have to play a part in keeping our community clean.
Every time we have to pick up a piece of trash that could have been put in the trash can, that's one step backwards. And we're reaching new heights is about taking that next step forward. And we want to put all of our effort into moving forward, not moving backwards. So,
and for the most part, I think a lot of the citizens in Muskegon Heights are excited about where we're going, and they look forward to being a part of that progress and being a part of a winning team. So, and that's what we all feel we are, a winning team. So we're looking to just keep the momentum going and get the goals accomplished that we're setting for our city.
And that's reaching new heights. So I'd like to welcome into the show, kind of segue from the work that you're doing at 8th Street Park to the overall community beautification process. And I see we have Mr. Calvin Davis joining us on the show. Welcome to the show, Mr. Davis, again. And so, Mr. Davis, I know you've been working together with other folks to pull together this amazing community cleanup. I was happy to be and honored to be part of the interview yesterday to talk about the plans. But for those people who might have missed the TV interview, who may not have seen all of the literature that we've been pushing out there, can you please talk about what is in store with this community cleanup? But first, tell us where it started and how it began.
Well, it started from the initiative of Fight the Blight campaign that you initiated. And one of the things that you did with the staff was to challenge us to take the vision and run with it. And so myself and Inspector Kerry Morrow sat down, put our heads together and figured out how we could come alongside the vision and give it legs and accomplish many of the things that you were seeking to do. So with that being said, we were able to partner with a conglomerate of agencies and resources to kind of bring them to bear. We have tapped into resources outside of the city to make this happen. And as a result, we're going to be having a kickoff on May the 21st, our first cleanup efforts. It is it's really exciting because it's creating a lot of buzz and energy. And we're looking to use this as a catalyst to plant seeds of pride and to bring back the unity that we've had in our community in my entire life. And so with that being said, we're asking that all the citizens would take part. We're going to kick off with a lawnmower parade here at City Hall. That's going to happen at 8:30 a.m. on the 21st. For those who have lawnmowers, now just so you know, it's first come, first serve. And you can bring your lawnmower with identification to the corner of Peck and Summit from 8 a.m. to 8:30 a.m. We are filling up the gas tank of your lawnmower so that you can go out and be part of lawnmower parade and then go back and cut your lawns. Amen.
Amen. And you said your lawnmower is not your SUV.
No, sir. not the slingshots. None of that. We're looking to get those lawnmowers filled up. And we've got the city broken down into four quadrants. We have four quadrant leaders, myself and Ms. Thornton there. She is one of the quadrant leaders. and
quadrant captain.
Yeah, and so we're gonna organize volunteers in four different quadrants of the city. There will be a trailer at every quadrant that has supplies, gloves, leaf bags, plastic bags, grabbers to pick up trash. And we know that we can't do everything, but we're going to start by cleaning off the terraces and the curbside. And we're asking the citizens to come outside, clean up your yards, mow your lawns. We have rakes, brooms, shovels, all of those things that you can get from those utility trailers, sign them out and utilize them on that day. We're going to go from 8:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. And we're going to have volunteers in each quadrant. If you want to sign up, you can go and look at our flyer that's out there on social media and other platforms and utilize the URL code to register for a particular quadrant. We've got some other giveaways. We have limited supply, but we have some plants of flowers, bushes, shrubs, and mulch and dirt, topsoil that will be given away. It's one donation per family. And we're asking that you bring your identification so that we can make sure that we're giving it to our residents and not neighboring residences.
Right. And that's intended for residents to use on their property, not for commercial purposes, right?
Absolutely. And in no way is the donation meant to be exhaustive. It is just is just us planting a seed, giving back to our residents, showing them that we care and we're concerned about their property and trying to partner with them to make the community better.
So let me just quickly back up. I appreciate you giving some of the credit to me, but I have to point out that this is an objective that council laid out, the mayor and council laid out early on back in 2020. Again, paused because of COVID, but it's an objective that they laid out to look at ways that we could be creative and innovative in addressing the blight in Muskegon Heights. And so it is us now executing on that objective and that vision that the council laid out, the mayor and council laid out. And I commend you and the other staff members, like you said, for answering the call and taking the initiative and taking the lead and pulling this together. I do want to recognize, though, also that there are a lot of community members that have been doing amazing things with their lawns, and there's been other cleanup efforts. And that's one of the things that hit me most when I came to Muskegon Heights. There's a lot of stuff that people are doing and a lot of effort that's going in. What I appreciate about what you're doing with this initiative is bringing people together to focus that effort in a way that we can have a more visible impact throughout the city. Because with all the efforts that were happening before, we would get a little piece of it here and a little piece of it there with good people doing good work, but then it would fade away because we weren't able to have the impact that we could have if we focus.
Right.
So... I mean, as residents and folks that grew up in this community, you have a better perspective on that. This is what me coming from the outside. So I would defer to you on your perception of what we're trying to do here and how it is innovative in that regard.
Yeah, I think it's innovative because you're making it more of a conglomerate mm-hmm. of all the different agencies who have been, doing this different initiatives in the city, but you're bringing everybody together, like the United Way, who have their annual cleanup, like mm-hmm. at Johnny O'Hara's Park and the other parks. Mm-hmm. Then you have, like Reed Muskegon and all these other Mission for Every Area people. Mm-hmm. All of these agencies are now coming together to fight the blight together. So
that's excellent.
That's excellent. Mm-hmm.
And I always forget Andrew's organization.
The Reforestation.
Reforestation. Yes. So. I do want to make sure that we make note of the efforts.
Andrew Prater, yes. He's amazing. He was able to go to some of these greenhouses and get the flats of flowers and the shrubs and rose bushes donated. So that's amazing.
Yep, and that little bit of effort has produced tremendous results. And so,
from coming to one meeting, and again, it's about, you know, communication. So communicating together, and then just those resources have now just broadened out to other places.
And I don't want to miss a chance to talk about where that synergy came from, because I ran into to Matt as part of the Chief's initiative to hold meetings on Wednesdays.
Yes, this all started with him.
Chief's name. Chief in there, you know, and being
at
able
the US Cafe.
At the US Cafe, exactly, where community happens, right?
Yes, the new heartbeat of Muskegon.
The US Cafe.
It has branched off to more than just Muskegon Heights. People now, when we meet in there on Wednesdays, you can get to see people from all over Muskegon County, and that's the beauty of it.
And I know I've gotten a few knocks because some folks think the city manager should be in a box in City Hall. And that's not the kind of city manager that I am or have ever aspired to be. Because if you're not in contact with the community, how do you feel the pulse of the community? If you don't make yourself accessible, how can you respond to the needs of the community? And so I appreciate that what you've created in the US Cafe, an opportunity for us to be in the community and have that contact.
Yes. So come and join us at the US Cafe on Wednesday mornings around 9:30 to noon, pretty much, where you can come and have conversations with our chief of police, with our city managers, the city officials, and other community organizations. Everybody wants to be in there now on Wednesday mornings. It's really quickly become a community hub where conversations happen, and you know, things happen from this Fight the Black campaign.
Andrew,
So shout out to Calvin for having that conversation with Amy from the Community Foundation, and that conversation just spurred, and now it's on fire.
It's nice to be able to sit back and watch good things happen organically. But that's what happens when you have good people in the same space. It's bound to happen. So
communication. That's what we need to do. We need more of that in our community.
Absolutely. So just to repeat, it's the third Saturday of every month, going up to when?
August 20th.
August 20th. Starting at what time on Saturday?
8. Well, you can come out around 8, but at 8:30, that's when you can get your lawnmowers.
All right. We're doing the lawnmowers on the first day as part of the lawnmower parade, right?
Yes, sir.
First come, first serve kind of thing. And that, you know, people have asked, well, why the lawnmowers? Because, and I'll say this, because we recognize that the work that our residents are putting into keeping their lawns and their houses beautiful. But we also want to appreciate and encourage folks to branch out beyond just their lawns, but also if you've got an elderly neighbor, a senior citizen on your block, an abandoned lot that you can, you know, chip in and help out with. That effort is priceless, and we want to recognize that by contributing to you as a resident, giving back to the community at large. So, good work, Mr. Davis.
Well, thank you so much. It's been an effort from myself and Mr. Morrill. You know, if I had to say anything in my closing remarks, it'd be simple: despise not the day of small beginnings. We have to start somewhere, and this is our effort to, you know, just plant seeds for the growth to come.
And literally plant seeds, right?
Yes, sir.
Excellent. Well, I think this is a good way to then segue to Ms. Thornton Hunter, because you seem to be everywhere, which. So thanks for your leadership and being part of the Fight the Blight campaign, and your willingness to step up and take lead on the Juneteenth celebration.
Co-committee chair with Jennifer Ross.
Yes.
Jennifer has done an amazing job with bringing, again, these different organizations together for sponsorship of the Juneteenth celebration, the third annual at Mona Lake Park. So beginning June 17th with a mixer with the Rotary. Muskegon,
yes.
Which is huge.
Our Rotary brothers and sisters.
Our Rotary brothers and sisters are teaming together for the Juneteenth celebration. Mm-hmm. They normally had a mixer,
right,
you know, every year at Mona Lake, but now they have happily partnered together with Juneteenth to move that to Juneteenth every year.
I know when I first threw out that idea, hey, why don't we move the mixer and combine it with this overall effort to recognize this new holiday, Juneteenth, and I thought they were going to push back or kick back and and they jumped right on board. So kudos to the Rotary. Yes.
We have the huge tent that they always have every year, and they've been happily saying to keep it up all weekend, you know?
Right.
So we'll have that covering if weather does not permit as well. So we have a band, a reggae band that Friday.
Nice.
Yes,
and I'm looking forward to that.
Yes. And, you know, Saturday, the vendors. You know, of course, the Buy Black weekend is going on at the
Black Expo.
Black Expo,
Mm-hmm.
is going on at the Van Dyke Mortgage Convention Center. And so after that, come on down to Mona Lake, and those vendors can come there as well and sell, and sell their goods and, yeah, have a good time.
So we'll have food, we'll have vendors, we'll have music, and we'll have
children's activities.
Libations.
Yes.
What's the entertainment on Saturday?
Saturday, that's still being planned, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is a top secret at this point. We don't want the cat out the bag yet.
Right.
So.
Right. Yes. Mm-hmm. And then on that Sunday, you know, the huge fireworks display. Amazing. Jennifer Ross, kudos to you.
Right.
You have done an amazing job of bringing all that together.
And so as you, if for those of you who are following us on live, you can see the flyer up there. And just take a look at the bottom of that flyer. The number of folks that have jumped up, stepped up, and have jumped on board to contribute to make this event happen.
And also, she just said it was now recognized as a federal holiday last year.
Yes. So right before we did the fireworks, we got the word that it's a federal holiday. So
it was amazing fireworks show last year.
You like
that?
Yeah. And I'll tell you, growing up in the shadow of the Capitol, I've seen some amazing fireworks show. And to me, the show that we had that that they put on last year was probably the best that I have seen. Yeah, so I was impressed.
Yeah, I was.
I told him when we were putting this together, I said, you know, this is the first one that we're doing, so you got to bring it.
Right.
And he said the CEO of the company said, you will not be disappointed. So he was spot on that. So, and that's going to be an exciting culmination again, the fireworks show. We're going to try something a little bit different to take it to the next level on that. And that is to put the fireworks to music. So that's an added touch that the fireworks vendor offered to do at no extra charge. So we'll see how that comes off. So, yeah.
It'll be a first for me. I don't think I've ever seen that.
Okay.
Yeah, fireworks to music. Yeah. So hopefully the music is good.
Right.
But I'm excited to see how that happens. And I think on Sunday as well, we have two bands that are going to be playing, and there's some discussion about on Saturday, in addition to the mixer with the businesses that, you know, part of our outreach to recognize the 200 plus businesses that we have in Muskegon Heights is a breakfast or
a brunch.
So we may be pulling in the brunch with that. So we'll see how that comes along here in the next couple of weeks to nail that down. So I do want to pause and take note of some of the comments that are in the chat here. Okay, so I have somebody who is telling us to stop cleaning up the cleanup. Not sure where that comes from. Let's see. Cal, Mr. Davis, there was a question about your title from Mr. Jimmy Davis. So if you want to answer that question for us really quickly.
I am the code enforcement officer for the city of Muskegon Heights. So any ordinances or code violations or compliance issues, I address it.
Very good. And my bad, my fault for not properly introducing you when I welcomed you into the show. And let's see, Mr. Davis is also saying that he or we are not paying the city manager to plant flowers, which is good because I'm not planting flowers. Yes. My job is just to set the stage, and I'm not opposed to in my free time rolling up my sleeves and being part of the solution as opposed to being part of the complaint or the problem. Yep. So, yeah. But we have been charged with raising the bar on the way our community looks. And sometimes just a few flowers here and there can make a huge difference, putting some color in the smile that is Muskegon Heights. And I want to thank Ms. Ross for chiming in. Thank you for your comments. And let's see, you got a question about who's creating the playlist.
That we've talked about the fireworks.
Yes, yes.
Who has the playlist?
So that is a collective contribution from various folks working with a local neighborhood DJ, Mihan. So thank you to Mihan for pulling that all together. So I'm excited about the potential of what's coming down the pipe. Right. So anything else we want to add about the Juneteenth?
No, just be ready. You know, this is huge. Again, the efforts of Jennifer Ross, again, along with the city, and then now the Rotary and all the businesses who are sponsoring.
Right.
The sponsorships are coming in continuously.
Yes.
And just for all of the city, not just Muskegon Heights, the whole county, they're pulling together to, you know, contribute and to be a part of something that's a start of reaching new heights. So, again,
yes,
let's be excited for what's to come and
right.
stop the complaining of what's not happening. Mm-hmm. It has to start somewhere, right?
That's right. And
Vendor Space is also still available for Juneteenth.
Okay.
Jennifer just put it in.
And if you're interested in Vendor Space, how do you reach?
There should be a link, or you can just inbox myself or Jennifer for Vendor Space for Juneteenth.
Okay.
As well as Vendor Space for our block party at the US Cafe coming up May 28th as well.
Okay.
So
that's
lots
right.
Of lots of opportunities for small business owners and businesses to get their products out.
I forgot about the block party. Mm-hmm. Yes, May 28th,
May
right?
28th. Yeah, that's nice. Mm-hmm.
So I want to comment about Mona Lake, too. Mona Lake is one of the jewels of Muskegon Heights, and I'm excited about making it the focal point of the Juneteenth celebration because we need to take advantage of this exciting opportunity at the lake. The lakefront is beautiful, and the more opportunities that we have to do events there, the more opportunities we will have to be able to bring more infrastructure to Mona Lake. So it's not just about the celebration itself, but the celebration is part of the building blocks to be able to make parks more accessible with additional attributes and amenities to them. Because if we use them, then we have the argument that there's a need to, you know, put more resources into it. And like I said, and you have said this many times, chief saying that what we do with our youth is the pipeline of what happens 10 years down the road.
Correct.
So Mona Lake Park, Juneteenth celebration, and we're looking for folks to come from all over.
Oh, yes. We've had, it's going to be huge.
Huge. We have people call from as far north as Ludington. Mm-hmm. I do want to recognize that our neighbors, Norton Shores, have contributed to this. They contributed a nice $5,000 contribution.
Amen.
That's great.
Yes.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
Amen.
And the contributions are still coming in. So even if you want to donate $50, $100, because we're not charging for this event. But every little bit helps. It makes a difference. And with what we were able to raise, we can turn around and make the event even bigger. I got a call from the city manager down in Benton Harbor, so wanting to know what we were doing for the Juneteenth celebration. So maybe some of those folks will come up.
It's beginning to be, mm-hmm. if we market it correctly and right. amazingly, the largest Juneteenth celebration on this side of the state.
Yes. Definitely. There's no reason why that can't be the case.
Not at all.
Forget about the east side, right? Mm-hmm. The west side. And I expect we'll have folks coming into town from Grand Rapids as mm-hmm. well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, most definitely.
And we get to get back to the Muskegon Heights Festival in the park this year.
Exactly.
That'll be in July. So
okay.
we're looking at between the next 2-3 years having two of the best mm-hmm. festivals mm-hmm. in the state.
So, right.
Let's just continue to keep working.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's the beautiful thing about Muskegon Heights, so much to offer.
Yes.
You know, we're right here. You're not going to find the soul and the heart and the culture anywhere else that can compare to this on the lakeshore.
Definitely.
So,
definitely.
You know, this is all part of those pieces in the building block. Jennifer mentioned that there's a link that she just put in for the Juneteenth celebration, the link for the block party as well. Let's see. So, yes, we're going to be outdoors all summer.
All summer.
You can't say outdoors. You got to say outside.
Outside. Okay.
Outside.
Okay.
All right. You have to hold the outside.
All right. Yep. And then we've got the street festival, too.
Yes. Every Friday in August. Mm-hmm. Yes, Mr. Bill, that's an awesome initiative. So again, just mm-hmm. being outside all summer long.
Right, outside.
Yeah. In conjunction with our farmer's market as right. well. So, yeah.
So the farmer's market is going to be opening the last week of May, coming right around the corner. And that is on Fridays from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. That's mostly wet, rain or shine. They're out there. So, if you haven't noticed, there was a significant makeover for the farmer's market. So that was ongoing last year. And so this year we'll be opening with that, with the makeover and new vendors. And then in the month of August, we want to transition from the 2 o'clock end of the farmer's market to starting the street fest. I believe we were talking about starting that at 4 p.m. And going till dark every Friday in August with food, music, drinks, some live music mixed in there, too. And then at dark, movies in the park in Rowan Park. We have a huge inflatable screen, and so we can put up some of Chief Sane's favorite movies.
Any Marvel movie.
Any Marvel movie?
Oh, that's awesome. Right. I thought you were going to say, I'm going to get you sucker. Right.
So a myriad of things that we have coming down the pipe. I just hope we have good weather.
And a lot of things that we're trying to do is family friendly. So
right.
pack the kids up and bring mm-hmm. them out and enjoy some nice evenings out downtown.
Right. And it's just
bringing community back.
Right. I look back at last year's Juneteenth celebration and just everybody getting together mm-hmm. and having a good time safely.
Exactly.
And thanks, Chief, for the work that you did to make sure that everybody was safe and secure. And then when we got to the fireworks show, you know, the fact that we had cars lined up down the highway, you know, turning people away because they got there too late and we didn't have room for them. You know, that says that what we're doing here matters to people.
Yes. Might even need to connect with the hotels over there to say park over there and walk mm-hmm. across.
Right. You know, right.
That
and
would be amazing.
I know some of the hotels there has talked about offering shuttles mm-hmm. across. So that's a piece of the puzzle that is still yet to be put in place. But
we have a meeting coming up.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. So contributions again, keep them flowing. We still have about $5,000 that we need to raise in order to make this happen. So reach out to any of the folks that you might know that can offer some contributions to this effort. We still have room on the flyer to add logos, but we'll make some room, right?
Yes, and again, like, thank you to ADAC and AgeWell, and again, the Rotary, the MARTDOC, Carmenter Law, the Community Foundation, Brianna Scott and Associates, our radio station as well. So
103.7.
103.7 The Beat. So thank you to all of those local businesses.
Yes, everybody is stepping up. So I think we have something coming from DTE. And we're waiting to hear back
from Shoreline Staffing as well.
From consumers to see if their foundation will be able to contribute. Community Foundation already did. And if I've missed anybody, please accept
my country cooking.
But we appreciate all of it and keep it flowing. So, we are on the home stretch of our show today. Do we want to add anything else about the cleanup that we missed? Mr. Davis, did you have anything that you wanted to throw in there? About the cleanup effort?
I don't have to add anything. It's just, it would be for the citizens to go out and help manicure their own lawns and assist on their block and in their neighborhood. And let's see how much progress we can make.
And how have your efforts been going in terms of the postcards that went out and, the addressing some of the challenges associated with people parking in the front yards and that kind of stuff. Does it seem as though those things are helpful, the postcards and such?
Well, yes, it does. It at least informs our citizens and the community as to what's happening and the time frame in which it's happening in. And we're starting to see things trending in the right direction. Because they know we're out patrolling, we're out engaging in conversations on a daily basis, and talking to property owners and vehicle owners, and they're starting to be more and more in compliance. And I think before long we're going to have a significant impact.
Excellent. And then you for you, Chief Sain, I know. We talked about H Street Park and the efforts that you are putting in to engage community through H Street Park. But on the horizon, we're in the spring and summer's down the road here just a bit. Have you seen within your role for public safety any issues that you want to proactively address or touch on as we lean into the summer?
Just basically, traffic, everybody just to be aware of the speed as we get into the summer months. We have kids out of school and kids playing around our neighborhoods. So we just want to be mindful of the speed limit. We will be doing traffic stings throughout the summer, making sure that people are complying with the speeds that's posted throughout our neighborhoods. Also, just being aware of people playing at the parks and kids being at the parks, to not be up there fighting and meeting at those areas to fight. We already had one incident like that this year where some kids met at H Street Park to fight. And we just want to make our parks a place where you can feel safe and be free to come be a kid. We want kids to be kids again. I think our society has made them so hardened with a lot of the violence that these kids see nowadays. They just don't have an opportunity to be kids. And that's the push that we're giving now. It's just want kids to be kids.
All right, it's not boxing lessons up at the park.
Nope.
It's all getting along, right? Figure out how we can work together and respect each other and enjoy each other's company, right?
Yes, sir.
Take it out on a good game of basketball.
Right.
We want Muskegon Heights to become the safe zone. So if you're hanging out in Muskegon Heights, just know that this is going to be considered the safe zone.
Perfect. Right. And Kaya, anything that you want to add? Wrapping up events.
Just join us Saturday, May 28th from noon to 6 for our annual block party. This is our second annual. Wow, we've been here a whole year already. So just doing some good things up at the US Cafe, community hub space. Bring your laptop, work with us during the day, and come get some amazing Cajun food on Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays.
Okay, perfect. And we finally have our events calendar that we can put up on the city website. So you should take time to go out and check the city's website for the event calendar. That should be up here by Friday. So you'll be able to see not only the events that we've talked about here, but deadlines for things like when leaf pickup starts and when leaf pickup ends, when your water bills are due, when taxes are due, all of that incorporated in one place in the events calendar. So check that out and feel free to give us any feedback on things that you think we should be adding to the calendar that we may not have added. You know, we have limited space, but if there's something critical you think that we should put on the calendar, let us know and we'll get it up there on the calendar. I know that there's a lot of events going on in the other communities outside, and we reference those in the calendar so that you're aware of it and can enjoy that, but also so that the surrounding communities can come and enjoy our events here at Muskegon Heights, right?
And also just a quick reminder for the citizens of Muskegon Heights, if you have any complaints or you need to talk to any of us, please come out to the Us Cafe on Wednesdays. We're there from 10 to noon. Mm-hmm. I have detectives there. Code enforcement officer is there. City manager is there. From time to time, we get Councilman Collins in there, Mayor Watt in there, Councilman Cook in there. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of city officials in there that can listen to your complaint, listen to whatever issue you have going, and we will try to solve them and get a plan of action to take care of them. And don't just come in for a complaint. If you feel like we're doing a good job, you can stop by and tell us that as well. So we appreciate you guys and look forward to seeing you at the Us Cafe on Wednesdays.
Great. So last thing I'm going to touch on as we wrap up, well, two things. One, council meeting this Monday. So please come out for the council meeting. If you can't come out in person, you're welcome to Zoom in. Council meetings are the second and fourth Mondays of every month.
That's the best place to bring your complaints and your questions and your everything. Come to the council meetings. You know, social media beef is not where you bring, and that's not where you get your answers.
Right, so. Right. So you want to be privy to the information firsthand. Mm-hmm. Council meetings, you get a chance to be front and center and be part of it. So 5:30, the second and fourth Mondays every month. So if there's five Mondays, like in the month of May, don't show up to council meeting on the 30th, you know, on the holiday. Don't show up on the 6th, which is the first Monday in June, right? It's the second and fourth Monday of every month. So please join us for that. And then the last thing I will touch on is the conversation about the roads.
Oh, there it is. Well, we might be. All right. Let's get comfortable.
So the last three or four radio shows, we have touched on the roads. And so I do want to reiterate that this is not something that we are unaware of. And I've said it once, I'll say it again. This is a problem that's been 30 years in the making. You don't just wake up in 2022 and have a problem with the roads today that wasn't the result of a lack of maintenance over the last 30 years. But it is, it's not going to be helpful for us to point fingers, to look backwards. What I encourage everybody to do is think about solutions that we can use moving forward. And so our public works department, under resource, under manned, under using old and antiquated equipment, it is out there busting their behinds. I guess I can say that on radio, right?
So I guess the biggest question a lot of people have, and let's just be, you know, let's just be say real. The elephant in the room.
Right.
The ARPA funds, they cannot be used for roads.
So the ARPA funds, there is a way.
Okay.
All right. So I don't want to give out misinformation that it's impossible to use it for. Okay. But they encourage you to use ARPA funds on things that will create residual benefits that will generate additional income. So that's something that, based on the money that you spend, that it's sustainable, not one-time expenditures, but expenditures that will create revenue down the road. So the preferences on things like building houses, because like I talked about, we don't have a tax, we're missing a tax base. We're missing 1300 residences from our tax base. Where we need to be even is 5,000 residences, and we have 3,700 residences. So we need to be intentional about putting our efforts and our resources into building houses, replacing those vacant lots, you know, which has multiple benefits, like the broken window syndrome. So we put a new house on a vacant lot that cuts down on the dumping, right? That cuts down on the crime that could happen on those lots. It also generates tax revenue, income tax, property tax revenue, income tax revenue. Those are the types of things that they encourage American Rescue Plan funds to be used on. Other things that they encourage it to be used on is matching funds for projects like underground pipe installation. And I've talked about how we need to replace our pipes. We had an episode on Wood Street, which highlights that the pipes in Muskegon Heights are from 1940. You know, typically you have 50 to 60 years worth of life expectancy out of your water pipes and your sewer pipes. We're reaching that point where we need to be proactive in addressing replacing water mains. Fortunately, the state and federal government is aware of that, and there's funding, the infrastructure bill, to be able to do water pipe and sewer pipe. But they understand that in order to dig up a pipe and replace a pipe, you have to replace the road. So that's how we can piggyback on addressing the road issue by focusing on the pipes. Now, the great thing is that there's funding available for that. The challenge, however, most of that funding requires matching funds. So they'll give us $1 million to fix pipes, but of that $1 million, 25% of it we have to match out of our pocket. So that's $250,000 that can come from the American Rescue Plan money. So we want to be strategic, because we know if we do the pipes, one, we get new pipes, and that's another 40, 60 years. We don't have to go back and fix it.
You get a new road.
You get a new road. Mm-hmm. And that's
so instead of putting a Band-Aid on the problem, yes, let's dig and, you know, yes, okay, get the decay out.
Right.
Then you can fix
it. Right.
Okay.
And that's how.
Thank you for that clarification.
Sure. That's the long-term vision. We make the hard investments today that will reap the benefits long-term tomorrow. So for our kids and their kids.
Did you hear that, everyone? You cannot put a Band-Aid on the pothole.
Right.
Okay.
And we estimate just the roads alone is $110 million need, right? So $5 million of ARPA money is just a drop in the bucket for a $110 million problem. You wouldn't even see that. You see a spot here, a spot there, a spot there. What will bring long-term benefits is bringing industry in that we're missing, to be able to bring in industry that uses our water, because we're only using 10% of our water. We need to be selling water to food services industry, beverage companies, those kinds of companies to come into Muskegon Heights. Going out and spending money to get those companies in gives us long-term residual benefits. It creates jobs and creates tax revenue. Building houses does the same types of things. So those are the types of long-term investments we want to be able to be strategic and wise about bringing today. And people will say, I've heard it, you know, nobody's going to want to buy a house in Muskegon Heights because the roads are bad. If that was the case, the property values wouldn't have gone up 20% last
year.
That's
true. That is very true.
Or 15% the year before that, or 10% before the year before that. Mm-hmm. So there is a demand, there is a need, and there is a value. And when you buy it today, before the roads are fixed, then you get it at a rate that's going to be much cheaper than when the roads are fixed.
Right.
So that $110,000, $150,000 house today, when the roads are fixed, is a $250,000, $300,000 house.
So you're buying equity.
Yes. People understand that. No. We need to understand. Yes. 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 I guarantee you people outside the community see that return on investment equation. So.
And people have to remember that Muskegon Heights is a business. Mm-hmm. And the city is a business. So if you have a business mind, you're thinking of that as another revenue of income.
Mm-hmm. So, that's right. Sources of revenue.
Seven sources of revenue.
Yes.
Even the city needs 5 to 10.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I get it. Okay.
Yep. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining the show, Mr. Davis. I think he had to sign off. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ms. Thornton Hunter.
Yes, thank you for right? having me. Yes.
And thank you, Chief Sain. It's a pleasure to have all of you join us for the show.
Appreciate it.
Talk about the amazing things that are on the horizon for us and the amazing work that you're doing for this community. It's greatly appreciated. The comments in here have echoed that. So we look forward to you coming back again and talking about how good all these things that we're predicting have been. So
that will happen. Right?
Not outdoors.
Not
outdoors.
No.
We outside.
All right. So thank you for joining us with Reaching New Heights with Troy Bell, the city manager, City of Muskegon Heights, where you get to know what you need to know so you'll be in the know. 103.7 The Beat. Continue to be blessed.